voices. Unedited, uncut, unfiltered, unflappable. Bringing you glory to the green. Representing One Nation. Mean Green Nation. It's time for the Mean Green Nation podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's right. It's the Mean Green Nation podcast. I think these are technically game day podcasts. Greg. Mr. Greg.
Yes. Gabriel. This is our first game day podcast, even though we are not playing a game today.
Mm-hmm. So we'll be doing this next week, and I will be, like, we haven't decided exactly where we're going to be. The thought was that we'll be out at the tailgates, but that seems like it's prohibitively expensive this time. It's like something like $5,000 or something. But that makes sense, given the fact that SMU is a little moneyed. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, it's College Football Saturday. First College Football Saturday of the year. It's a great time. I see in the back you have College Game Day on.
I do. I got College Game Day on. I'm sitting here coming to you live from Schulenburg, Texas. I don't know if anybody knows where that is, but it's an awesome place to visit. Stop at the Country Bakery, get yourself a kolache. But sitting in my parents' pub room, yeah, where we're going to be watching all the games today with my family member. So I'm really excited.
That's good. I will be here in my home. Pretty much where I'm broadcasting now. Where I'd like to be is out there at College Game Day, because, you know, there's a lot of UNTers out there trying to support, you know, I guess our school. There's a lot of people there for the where are they exactly in Fort Worth?
Sundance Square, there Fort Worth.
That's what I was trying to say. So since we can't be there, we are here. We're going to enjoy some college football today. Should be fun. This week there was some college football. So far, we'll talk a little bit about that. Some North Texas headlines, since we don't really have a game to play, and we're not going to preview the SMU game here a week out, because we're going to talk about it all next week. Well, I guess we'll talk a little bit about it. But
yeah, we'll give some quick thoughts.
Yeah. All right, so first up, what are we talking about, Greg?
Soccer update. They won on Friday, didn't they?
Yes, they beat Abilene Christian 3-0. But the game that you might care about is the one that they lost last week to Kansas. The one that I made some predictions about. I was like, you know what? They're going to win 2-1, and Rachel Holden's going to do a bicycle kick goal. Now, Rachel Holden did score a goal, and the final score was 2-1, but it was not in our favor. It was I actually didn't see the game-winning goal for Kansas. But it came off a weird throw in. It bounced. Somebody knocked it in, and I was like, I had just looked back to the live feed, and I was like, what the hell? There's no replay on this thing, so you know, I just had to deal with it. But yeah, so Mean Green were down a goal. Start of second half. Here comes Rachel Holden on a breakaway, slots it in nicely, calm as you like. Bottom right corner. Past the keeper, tie the game up, and we're looking like we're getting a nice result there in Denton until the kind of a fluke goal. And we got Mr. Todd Samuels in here on the chat. You can chat with us live if you're listening to this later. We do this at 9-ish on Saturday mornings is when we'll do it. We'll be live on site in Dallas next week, so you can come up and you talk to us. We'll maybe have you on if you're an interesting kind of person. Get your thoughts on the game. you can chat with us on either the chat box there, or you can tweet at us, Mean Green Nation on Twitter. And Greg, you are MGN_breakdown. As you said, the soccer team won on Friday against Abilene Christian. They play Sunday at home against Houston. So,
ooh,
go out and see that one. They are 4-1 on the season right now. And the next, it's at 1 p.m. at the Mean Green Soccer Complex there.
And is Houston a legitimate contender or competitor, I should say? Or what kind of challenges do they provide?
I don't know. I don't read much about Houston women's soccer, but it's one of those things. And like, you know, like soccer in general. You look at it, you're like, well, they're a big name school. Houston, Kansas, those kinds of teams. And so getting wins over those kinds of teams is good for the general brand recognition. I mean, you know, you lose to them, they're like, well, they're Houston. I don't, nobody knows how good they are, but the, you know, Houston's a brand name, so it's good to get a win over them there. You can say things like, yeah, well, Houston came over here, we beat them in soccer. And you're like, well, okay, there you go. Yeah. Honestly, yeah, I don't follow women's college soccer so closely that I know all the great teams. But, yeah, I do know that our team is awesome just from wins, but then also watching them play. I know a little bit about soccer. You watch them play, you're like, wow, they're a really good team. Okay. What's next? Great, that was our soccer update. As promised.
Very nicely done. So this week, North Texas Mean Green Football named their 2015 captains. We have quarterback Andrew McNulty, not a real stunner there. Tight end Marcus Smith, linebacker Blake Bean, and linebacker Anthony Wallace. What is your take on our captains for this year?
All right. So my immediate thought was Anthony Wallace, really? And then the second thought was, hey, like no Kenny Byers, right? But overall, I'm not really surprised by this. I mean, you know, the people that they vote for captains, they said it was a team vote. It's always going to be somebody that you don't really expect. And you know, you'd have to be there to understand why they voted them captains. So and they're like all seniors, right? So like I'm not really surprised after thinking about it a little bit. It's, I guess, my quick take on it.
I was a little bit shocked, again, like most people were, by Anthony Wallace, because we were kind of like, he just, to us, I guess he doesn't figure in big to the plans. I mean, it's good to see that. Obviously, the players respect him as a person and as a leader. We just really haven't seen his production on the field. And I know the captains aren't necessarily tied to production on the field, but still, excuse me, it's good to see him there, because here's a guy that was a four-star recruit that we're hoping to get big things out of. So that's good. Blake Bean, not really shocked to see him there, because he's been with Chris Kosh, so he kind of knows the system, and I think that helped him become a leader on the field, so that could have earned the respect of the player. So I think a little shocked by the defensive guys, but, you know, again, and the other thing about McNulty, him being a captain, it doesn't mean that, you know, he's the end-all, be-all, that quarterback, because they named him a captain. It just means his teammates respect him and that he's a leader. That's really what it means. You know, that's their leadership council. They voted him. I mean, the dude works hard and does all that other crap. But, you know, it doesn't mean that, oh, they're sticking with McNulty for the whole year. So just want to just...
It's funny that you thought about that. You're like, wait a second. Does this mean that Andrew McNulty is going to be there?
I saw it on the Go Mean Green forums. You know, somebody had posted, oh, man, I guess they're sticking with McNulty for the whole year. Nah, I think we just need to maybe calm down a little bit on that. Yeah. And Kenny Byers, maybe he's more of a quiet leader. You know, maybe, you know, lead by example on the field. That's kind of – he doesn't seem like he'd be a vocal person out there on the field, you know?
I think you can kind of put like some evidence together. He said that he was leading a certain way last year, and this year he's been more vocal, like a leader in the locker room. I think Brett Vito said, well, he's a leader, make no question about it, he's a leader. I don't know like what the criteria for captain is exactly, like, you know, what they're voting on, what they were told to vote on. I don't know. Like, it's, there's always people that you nominate, this guy's going to be your leader, and there's people that you follow and think. Everybody knows this if you've taken any kind of leadership course or anything about it. I don't really think it's a huge deal, this whole storyline. I'm just like, yeah, cool. All right.
Well, I mean, think about it this way. Michigan State does something similar to North Texas. They have their leadership council, and everybody knows Connor Cook, household name, top 10 pick in the NFL draft next year, probably Cleveland Browns, and he wasn't voted a captain, and he came out and he said, well, you know, it stinks, but look, it happens at other places in the country. It doesn't downgrade what Kenny Byers is as a person. Vito says he's still a leader. We believe he's still a leader. I'm sure all the players on the team believe he's still a leader. So, you know, not really a big deal.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, it's cool. Congratulations to these guys for getting voted as captains. I like saying captain. As captains. Yeah, so that's cool. What's next on our list of topics? SMU thoughts? Did you watch that game?
Yeah, Baylor defeated SMU last night after SMU gave them a game in the first half. Matt Davis, a guy that, you know, we obliterated last year, you know, 16 of 23, 166 yards through the air, 2 touchdowns. Of course, he had that one bomb on his first pass. And then he had the 24 carries for 115 yards running the ball. And what are your thoughts about, you know, obviously SMU looks better than everybody thought that they would look. Now I think there's a little nervous, you know, creeping in. A little doubt is creeping into some Mean Green fans. What are your just quick thoughts about that game last night?
I wasn't surprised that they looked better than last season. I mean, you know, like if you kind of looked into the reasons why SMU was sucking last year, especially to start the season, like June Jones was pretty much on his way out anyway. He was not really coaching full bore the team. He was kind of thinking about other things. Apparently, he wasn't even recruiting very well. So they looked like a team whose coach was, you know, thinking about quitting. So Chad Morris is excited. He's, you know, he's on the come up, basically. And, yeah, you know they're going to look good. He's an offensive coach. You know they're going to score some points. So they came out and they scored some points. 21 points in the first 21 minutes, which was more than they scored in the first, what, three games or something like that?
All of September last year they had 12 points, and they scored 14 points in the first two possessions.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, I don't really think – I'm not super scared about that whole thing. I think UNT – it's not like North Texas has not faced a good offensive team before. You know what I'm saying? So will they be as bad as they were last season? No. Will they gift us points? No. So, yeah, I mean, I don't really have the nervousness like everybody else has. You kind of had to know that SMU was going to be a little bit better just because – you are not, when you're studying them, you're not looking at SMU, maybe some of their players, obviously, but you're really looking at Clemson film and seeing what Chad Morris did over there. And so you should know that they can score some points, you know, and you should be preparing for that. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing about the SMU game that concerns me a little bit is they played this week. We don't play this week. Where it had seemed to be that it was building like it was going to be an advantage for North Texas. Like they were going to get an extra week. They weren't going to have a loss. Baylor was going to blow SMU out, and North Texas was going to come into that game with the momentum. Now SMU, they showed that they can play with confidence. They can play well on offense. They can put up points, and their fans are going to believe that they should beat North Texas. They're probably going to be favored by double digits against us. Probably going to be favored by like 10 points or something like that.
That's interesting.
They've already had a week now to work out the kinks. Those freshmen that he brought in, they're able to get the jitters out of the way. So they're going to be better than they were this week against Baylor versus us. And they're going to believe that they, you know, that they should win. The other thing is Baylor probably did not respect SMU at all. And some of the tackling by Baylor and some of just the missed assignments that they had last night, You can't have that against a Chad Morris team, because he's going to put athletes in space and he's going to use misdirection. And if you make mistakes, mental mistakes, he's going to get people open and he's going to burn you. And we saw that early with SMU last night. So that's going to be a big key for us, is stopping Matt Davis, make sure we have somebody accounted for him, you know, specifically on passing downs and when he's running the ball, and, you know, stopping the run. You know, everything for Chad Morris is about the run. I know people like to look at the spread, but they had 54 runs last night, and you can bet damn well that they're going to try and run the ball a lot against North Texas. And so it's going to be interesting to see how our defense, at least we have a little bit of film on them. We have a kind of a better understanding of now, okay, this is exactly what they're going to be. We know some of their playmakers. You know, the one freshman, the Cortland Sutton, 6'4 wide receiver. He had 2 touchdowns last night. maybe that's a good matchup for Jamal Marshall, you know, 6'3 corner that can run. So those are some of the things, you know, like you said, SMU, we thought they were going to be better. We weren't hoping that they were going to look that good last night, though.
Yeah, all right. So, yeah, they looked really bad last season against Baylor. And this season, they started out, they looked good. But some of that is just because they were playing Baylor. That if you score a touchdown against Baylor, everybody kind of freaks out. Like, oh, man, Baylor's supposed to win the national championship. If you score a touchdown against them, you can score a touchdown against anybody. You know, not necessarily. No, not really. But, yeah, everybody kind of thinks that. That was my worry also. You mentioned there. About them having seen a game. I was hoping that Baylor would just put a hurting on them, and they were like, well, those are some big, strong athletes out there, and now we're just, you know, we're kind of demoralized. I was hoping they'd get their asses handed to them. But maybe this works out. I can see how this is good for us in that they're like, hey, we're pretty good. Maybe they get a little overconfident, you know? Maybe they think that they can hang with Baylor and TCU of this world. But, you know, and they overlook little old North Texas to the north, right?
It was kind of funny last night. I was listening to the game. I didn't get to watch a lot of it. I watched some of the highlights. But as SMU started to do well and they were hanging with them, I found myself wondering, do I want SMU now to just win the game and then next week we come down and we just beat their ass that way and then they're like, you know, oh, supremely overconfident? Or was I hoping that, you know, Baylor would just continue to hopefully blow them out? And I don't know. I don't know how you felt about that. I just had those thoughts while I was driving.
I was rooting for a blowout. I wanted to see 66 to nothing or something like that. Just because that'd be fun going into that. I want them to be in some kind of turmoil, you know, when we go over there. I think they feel too good. I don't like them feeling good right now. So what else do we have on our list before we're trying to stick to a schedule here, guys.
Yeah, just quick thoughts from the Thursday night Conference USA. They showed out. They played really well. FIU, not a lot of people picked them to be good. I'm going to raise my hand right now and say I picked them to be good. And they went in. They beat Central Florida 15-14. That's a big win for them. They looked pretty good on offense. They reminded me like a Dan McCartney team. They ran the ball. They took care of it. And they just played like, you know, it was an ugly game, ugly first game, but they were able to beat. You beat Central Florida at Central Florida in week one. That's a big win for Conference USA and your program.
Yeah. I see we got some listeners live. Thanks for listening live. You can tweet at us. We'll respond to your questions if you want to jump into the conversation or jump in the chat box there. There's a chat thing on Mixler's thing. So, yeah, jump in.
Next game.
Yeah, FIU won. I thought overall, Conference USA, like I said, I tweeted this, had an A-minus week. If UTSA got an actual victory and not just a moral victory against Arizona, this would have been an A-plus week. But, yeah, that's really – so far, I mean, because you have the Thursday, Friday. The game that you're missing there is Charlotte's. Charlotte went to Georgia State and got a win there in the first FBS win.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was an ugly game. It felt like it was on for 10 hours. It was – yeah, speaking of no atmosphere, yeah.
Yeah, who starts at a 2:30 on a Friday on a work week?
Yeah, it was the weirdest thing.
That's just one of those things where you're hoping to get on TV and get a little national recognition.
Yeah,
that's, you know, those that's people exactly that were slacking off at work like me that wanted to just watch football, we're just in there watching it. So, Western Kentucky, they beat Vanderbilt, a win versus the SEC. I know Western Kentucky was favored. A little by bit two. Shocked. Go ahead.
They were favored by two, and they won by two. That was a little on the nose there, Las Vegas, right?
You know, Vanderbilt's defense, they were wrecking shop in that game. That was a little surprising. Western Kentucky's offense couldn't get anything going pretty much the entire game. Then they hit two drives, got two touchdowns, won the game, stopped a two-point conversion against Vanderbilt. Their defense for Western Kentucky, they showed out. You know, they were giving up over 500 yards a game last year. They only gave up 385. But, again, their offense was – up over 500 last year, and they only put out 246. And then
I got some thoughts on that when we'll cover the UTSA game, but I got some thoughts on overall offense is looking bad.
Yeah, the one that was kind of the shocker to me, and I think a lot of people, and this is, again, this is why you play the games. UTSA picked to, you know, suck at everything this year in football. You know, their quarterback was, you know, picked behind McNulty in the college football, Yahoo's ranking of all the college football quarterbacks.
Yeah, it was like 126, right, or something like that, out of 128.
Yeah, so Texas San Antonio, they go into Arizona, they give them a game. They only lose 42-32. They put up, you know, a lot of offense, 525 yards. I know Arizona lost Scooby Wright in that game, and that probably deflated them a little bit. You know, when you lose a star that's as good as him, and they probably didn't respect UTSA, you know, off the bat, then you lose your star. And, you know, I could see where they got deflated mentally and physically, and they just kind of wanted to, you know, just get the game over with and get out of there. And before you know it, you find yourself in a dogfight, and you got to give UTSA credit for, you know, making the changes that they did in the offseason, the young kids coming in, and they played really well on the road.
Yeah, I think, again, I live in San Antonio, and, you know, it's not hard to keep up with UTSA stuff going on. And one of the things that's going is that they graduated all their original class, right? And so now what you're seeing out there is dudes that were recruited to play FBS football. A lot of the original class, and then the second and third classes, were guys that were recruited to start up a program or play an FCS schedule, basically, or, you know, kind of do that. Now you're getting FBS athletes that were recruited to play Conference USA football. And so in that way, it's not so surprising to see, you know, to see them hang a little bit better and not, you know, not get steamrolled. But yeah, like I said, I had some thoughts on that. Look at Arizona, it was expected to run out there and put up a lot of points. Even Baylor, well, not really Baylor. Even TCU is what I was thinking about. TCU didn't look super amazing. Boykin, he looked okay. You know, he had a game where he could check a box and say, look, I contributed mightily to this win. I'm still in the Heisman race. But they didn't really dominate Minnesota like they, I guess, were going to. We all thought they were going to. I feel like it's just like week one jitters, especially because it's on a Thursday night. It's just kind of weird. And I wonder if, like, Arizona were just kind of not ready to play, you know, like they will be able to play the rest of the season. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah, and I wonder if that's kind of it. Just a lot of teams looked weird on the Thursday, Friday games. And I wonder if that explains some of the, I guess, disappointment. The only team that looked really great was Baylor, which I guess is not very surprising because Baylor just a machine, an offensive machine.
Yeah, but even they struggled, you know, with a team early on that they weren't supposed to struggle. So,
but not, offensively, though. Not offensively.
Not offensively. But, you know, the biggest thing about week one is you can't get too high or too low on your team,
mm-hmm.
you know, because you're going to grow. You're going to, you know, probably by week four or even five, that's when you really find out or you get a better idea of, you know, how good are we as a team. You know, you look at A&M last year. They started out, you know, balls to the wall, blowing South Carolina, you know, down, and everybody's penciling them in. A&M, national champs, Kenny Thrill. And, you know, before you know it, you know, Kenny Thrill, you know. Kenny Thrill, whatever the hell. You know, he's transferring out of the program, and, you know, they're losing games and getting blown out. And so that's what I'm saying. Yeah, take week one with a grain of salt. It's good to see football, but still, don't get too high or too low on, you know, one specific program. But still, the thing I take away from UTSA was the quarterback play. They got really good quarterback play, and that could be
Bogan shoots.
Yeah, that could be a little concerning down the road for North Texas.
Yeah, I saw some UTSA fans tweeting about, like, well, North Texas is going crazy over Blake Bogan shoots. Like, well, it was one thread, and it was two people in that one thread on GomiGreen.com. But yeah, the full story there, if you don't know, it's he went to Carthage, right? And we could have recruited him along with the receivers that we recruited, but we didn't. Some felt he was undersized, even though he's accurate. We've kind of talked about this already. We like the bigger quarterbacks, and that's why we got Connor Means out here with his 6'4 self. So obviously these two players are going to be compared, you know, because we chose one and we didn't choose this other guy. And we could have, you know, we obviously were aware of the school and him, you know, throwing passes because we got the receivers he threw passes to. So that's cool. I like it. This is the seedlings of a little rivalry, right? You know, you talk about a guy went here, not there, then what could have been. But the thing is that nobody on our side really, really cares. Nobody looks at Blake Bogenschutz as like the one that got away. Maybe we will if he goes on to some kind of, you know, Conference USA Hall of Fame career. And, I mean, he certainly had a great start last night. Well, a great game. He didn't have a great start. He threw an interception on his first pass that was returned for a score. So,
yeah, and here's the thing, and I'm going to rant for just a little bit.
All right.
About this.
Rant.
This whole quarterback thing. I'm tired. McNulty better come out on Saturday next week, and he better ball out. He better play balls to the wall, and he better be good. He better be damn good. I am tired of the quarterback problems that we have at North Texas. I don't care if we've only had four good quarterbacks over the history of North Texas. I don't give a shit about that. It is 4 years of Coach Mack, 5 years of Coach Canales, and no solution to the quarterback. No good recruits. Find me the guy. And it doesn't have to be some, you know, all-American stud quarterback that comes in. Find me an FBS-level solid quarterback that can play, that can make, you know, most of the throws, that could be that we, when we come into the season or we go into a game, I feel okay about that position. We are good. I feel like North Texas is prepared everywhere else to win except the quarterback position. McNulty is not the answer to our quarterback solution. We talked about the parameters that Coach Mack sets about 6'4 quarterbacks. If we recruit every other, you know, position, we take smaller linebackers, we take smaller DBs, we do all this other stuff, why are we setting parameters on our quarterback play, our quarterbacks? This is the state of Texas. Everybody in the nation comes here to find a quarterback, and you're telling me that you can't go find one. You can't find go find a diamond in the rough in a 2A or a 3A small town. Some kid that lights the record books on fire, but everybody overlooks because of one thing. Bring that guy in because chances are he's going to be better than the shit that you have already brought in. I'm serious. I'm tired of it. I want a quarterback. I feel like we're the Cleveland Browns of the NFL. They can't find a quarterback. North Texas can't find a quarterback. I'm sorry, but look at the recruits that we brought in, like Bergelund, Osborne, McNulty, Dejon, Connor, who disappointed so far. What the hell is that? We need a quarterback. It shouldn't be that hard. I know Texas has struggled, you know, to find their guy, but just find me the guy already.
Yeah, that's thanks for that. That's Greg ranting on quarterbacks. We might just clip that one and just YouTube it. That's one way that University of North Texas is very much like the University of Texas. I saw a couple tweets, and I thought they were talking about us. But new in the chat, check your blood pressure. Worrying about you, Greg. I thought it was
I'm
from...
Good. I went to bed Thursday night just pissed off. For some reason. My wife's like, what's wrong? I don't know. I'm pissed off because North Texas doesn't have a quarterback. Everybody else has one. North Texas can't find one.
So it turns out that tweet was by a Texas fan. And I was like, wow, they have the same problems as we do. Okay, so what else are we going to talk about? You have here previewing conference opponents.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about, you know, Western Kentucky a little bit, UTSA some. So... Mm-hmm. We were going to talk about them last week, but, you know, Rice, we get them that second game. They got 10 starters back. You know, Jackson's back as their quarterback. But, you know, and everybody keeps saying that David Bailiff, you know, he's got the winning ideas. And, you know, sooner or later, though, he's not going to be able, you know, to win. I think he's going to have a down year this year. He lost to two big wide receivers, you know, Jordan Taylor, I think was his name. And then he lost 125 starts in his secondary. And you tweeted the article that, you know, Bill Conley had about measuring experience or a better way to measure experience. And one of the things that I took away from that was, you know, the secondary was important to have experience mm-hmm. there. And so that's why I wanted to highlight that, you know, we're in a passing league or a passing era, really.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that could hinder Rice. I don't think they're going to be as good as a lot of people think they are.
Yeah, I can't really say much beyond that. They really haven't been impressive to me, even though they won, you know, conference title and they got in there. I just feel like I've never looked at Rice these past couple of years and thought, that's going to be a really tough game. Even the year we beat them here, I was never scared of them. I don't know. And that is, you know, very stats-based preview of them. And I feel like this is going to continue. That's the nature of being in Conference USA, though, that whereas every school is going to have, like, they're going to rise and fall based on the seniors that they get. Conference USA, this level of basically, like, you know, all the non-Power 5 ones are going to, you know, be at their best when they have seniors, right? Upperclassmen.
Right.
And we talked about that before. So losing a lot of experience there is going to be even worse for them.
Right.
Yeah. And they have, like, they start five defensive backs because they do that 4-2-5 thing. I don't really know what to think about them this season. Who they got? They got Wagner today, right?
They play Wagner.
That's not going to really tell us much. And then they play Texas, and then they play us. So,
right.
By the time see them, we're not going to know too much about them.
Yeah. No, but I mean, we'll have an idea, you know, because they're normally, like, even when they played A&M and they had their good teams, they were still competitive. So we'll be able to see if Jackson's grown as a quarterback when they mm-hmm. play a team like Texas. So because they'll have a formidable defense that they roll out. Our next team that we got up in conference play, Southern Miss. They when they released their depth chart, they still had the or between their quarterbacks. Now, I know a lot of North Texas fans think Nick Mullins is their quarterback because he's, you know, he tore us up, and he's been good for him. I mean, like, you've seen the progression as a quarterback, as you should.
Yeah.
But they have a TCU transfer. His last name's Matthews, and they're kind of been battling out. And they play Mississippi State tonight at home. Hey, they get a Power 5 team at home.
What's that like?
Yeah. I don't know. But that'll be kind of interesting to see which quarterback there plays better or plays the most. I have a feeling it'll be Mullins just because I've always been a fan of his. I thought he looked good. Even that when he was a true freshman, played against us, thought he did some good things and saw the progression. I think Southern Miss is going to be one of the most improved teams. Not only in Conference USA, but in the country. And as they've been bad for so long after being good for so long. And I think that they're finally, you know, on the cusp of doing something good. If they don't do it, Todd Monken, he's going to be fired this year. And I think their offensive line should be one of the areas where they're most improved at. And, you know, they only had 95 yards per game last year rushing. And I think that's a big part of Monken's offense. And, you know, they had 95 yards per rushing per game last year, but against us they had 200. So,
are they bringing back a lot of dudes on the offensive line? I think
they're bringing back a couple guys, but then they had some JUCO transfers coming in.
Yeah, that's it.
Some really good JUCO transfers. So that's why, you know, because we talked about, you know, the experience with Bill Conley, his article that you tweeted out, and and you're a proponent of it too, where just because you're bringing back all five of your offensive line, it doesn't mean crap as we saw last year.
Yeah.
The unit, it has to gel together throughout the season, and I think it has to gel, you know, from season to season. As an interesting thing will be, how good will the Cowboys offensive line be this year? Because they were awesome last year, but let's see, you know, how they are this year.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's the thing, is I don't know how that applies to, like, pro offensive lines,
because right.
I think maybe that doesn't hold true, because I don't know, you need that as a consistency for the pro game, because it's so complex, or at least we think it's complex, but yeah, I'm not quite sure how that works. It's weird, they said that bringing all five of your linemen back, or just bringing back a lot of experience, has a negative correlation with F plus or minus ratings. Like I said, it's not necessarily useful, his rating, the article that we're talking about, and we'll link to it. It's just interesting stuff to look at. Some of it feels right. It passes the smell test. So looking at Southern Miss's schedule last season, they lost every game after beating us 30-20. And I think in that one, we let them outrush their averages that season. We were good at doing that. Like, hey, are you terrible? Now you're better, you know? Like, UTSA had, like, the worst offense aside from us in the conference, and we let them have a record day. So, there you go. They, who do they, you said they played Mississippi State today, yeah, at home.
That'll be interesting to see if they're able to at least hang with them.
Yeah,
there's Mississippi State, they returned Dak Prescott, Dan Mullen's good coach. They had the breakout year last year, but they lost a lot of their pieces too, so
yeah,
it'll be interesting.
Looking at their schedule before they get to us, Mississippi State, Austin Peay, at Texas State, at Nebraska, and then they finally play us in Hattiesburg. So we'll get an idea of what they are. They play a couple of power teams, and then, you know, they got Texas State, which is a Sun Belt team, and then, you know, they got a basically bye game, you know. So we'll see. We'll learn some things by the time they come, or by the time they host North Texas on the 3rd of October. We should know some things about them. All right, so who's next?
Western Kentucky. You didn't really get a chance to tell me what you thought about them on Thursday night. I know they played an SEC team. Derek Mason, the coach of Vanderbilt, came from Stanford, a defensive guy, and you could really see that he was starting to put in some good defensive principles because they were playing really good. And I don't know whether you take from that Vanderbilt's defense was really good or Western Kentucky's offense wasn't as good as it was last year.
Yeah, that's kind of what popped in my head, is that I'll go ahead and chalk up Western Kentucky's not having any offense there to some of that, like I said, early season kind of jitters. Vanderbilt, maybe they have a great defense. We don't know. We need to see some more football before we can make a determination there. Western Kentucky, we know that they can score points, or at least that they are geared to scoring points. It's not like they're awful. They got awful in 1 year. So I think that was just a one-off kind of thing. And maybe, I think the other part is that maybe they got a defense now. That's kind of scary. It's a little bit scary. But again, we don't know. I think, was it like the little preview thing from SB Nation was that the Hilltoppers went 3-2 in games in which they allowed at least 48 points. Mm-hmm. What's funny about that is there are five games that they allowed 48 points in, and they won three of them, which is ridiculous. They could score. They could score like crazy. Just looking at their scores, it looks like basketball scores. 59-31, you know, 50-47,
yeah.
45-38. So let's talk about them. What are they like this season? Besides maybe their offense isn't that great. Maybe it was just a blip. Besides that, what should we look? What do we have to look forward to from WKU this year?
What you said, their offense is going to figure it out. Brandon Doherty, he was pressured a lot against Vanderbilt. He wasn't able to sit in the pocket and throw. Like the announcer had mentioned, they changed his throwing angles a bunch of times. They were at his feet, making him move around, just making him uncomfortable. Western Kentucky dropped a ton of balls, too, in that game, their wide receivers. But again, they're all about their offense. If they improve their defense, they're going to be one of the top teams in Conference USA, regardless. But if their defense improves, they have a chance to go undefeated. I don't know who they play next, but, you know, getting a win for Conference USA against an SEC team, doesn't matter who, on the road, even though they were favored, that bodes well for the conference. So I hope we can beat Western Kentucky, but if they come in and they beat us, I'm hoping that they do go, you know, undefeated and they're ranked and they have a chance to, you know, play in a big game, you know, make the conference look good.
Yeah, I want them to be, like I said, undefeated by the time they come to North Texas on October 17th. They play Louisiana Tech next, and I think that's a Thursday night game. No, it's the 12th. All right, so that's a Sunday, Saturday. They play at home against Louisiana Tech. That's going to be a huge matchup next week.
Yeah, actually, we get them on the 15th, that Thursday night game.
What did I say?
You said the 17th.
Yeah. I think I'm looking at an old schedule here.
Yeah. After Western Kentucky, you know, we get to play Marshall. And Marshall lost Rakeem Cato. He was a lot of their offense. They have an FCS transfer, Birdsong, a big kid, came from James Madison. And I think he threw like 25 touchdowns last year. So he's capable of being a good quarterback for them, being an FBS-level quarterback probably. The thing to take away from Marshall is, even though they lost their quarterback, they're still talented across the board. They still got a lot of wide receivers. I know one of their best wide receivers from last year they dismissed off the team. I think we talked about it in one of the earlier podcasts, a guy that had like 6 touchdowns. So that'll hurt, but they still have – I can't think of the running back's name, but he tore it up last year, and he's back. Their offensive line is back. So – I ranked their unit rankings that we have up on MGN's website. I ranked them number 1 or 2 or at least in the top 5 of almost every category. So I expect them to be good. It'll be fun to watch them duke it out with Western Kentucky when they end up playing. I think they play towards the end of the year. Those two teams, in my opinion, will really decide who wins Conference USA East.
Yeah, I was right. I'm looking at some old schedule for whatever reason. Now I'm looking at the schedule I had seen before. Louisiana Tech and Western Kentucky do play Thursday night. So just in case you were relying on me for your football watching, planning stuff, yeah, watch that one. Yeah, Marshall's going to be good. I don't know. I'm interested to see what we'll do against them. I'm kind of glad that we didn't play them in the Cato era, just because I think they would have just slaughtered us, and I'm glad they didn't. Yeah, I said slaughtered. So who they got? They got Purdue.
Yeah, they're favored, and we'll be getting into our Saturday selections later. They play Purdue at home, and they're favored by 7.5.
Zing. Well, that tells you more about Purdue.
Yeah, but Purdue hasn't won. They've struggled on the road. They've lost like their last 8 road games or openers or some stat like that. It's just bad. Purdue just looks bad.
Yeah, you're right. They do play the final game of the season at Western Kentucky. We play them on the 24th of October. So we'll have a good. They play Purdue, Ohio. They got a bye me game. Kent State. ODU, Southern Miss, FAU before they play us. So we will know something about Marshall by the time we get them.
Nice. Right. Next up, we play UTSA. We've talked a little bit about them already. The quarterback play looks improved. Their offensive play calling looked improved. They have one of the best. They probably have the best tight end in the conference. It'll be interesting to see if Marcus Smith, if he gets the targets, because I think he can be a guy like David Morgan. I don't want to compare him yet, because Morgan is obviously produced and produced, you know, at a high level. So, and their defense, it looked okay. I mean, Arizona is a high-powered team, so you can't really judge them off of that. But UTSA is going to be an improved team, and they're not the second worst team in the country, like everybody thought they were. So, yeah, that's what I got from them.
I mean, they played well in that first game, but last season they played well in their first game also. And they played well against Arizona in that game also. And, you know, they went on to be the worst offensive team in the conference. So, granted, that was some of that was injuries and things, but I'm a little less eager to just crown them as diamond in the rough, just because I don't really think that was more, that had more to do with Arizona than it did UTSA. That's not to say that UTSA is going to be just a pushover. I do agree they're probably not going to be the second worst team in the nation. I don't think they're dysfunctional. I think you have to be dysfunctional to be that. But I do think they're going to be – they have a very real chance, an easy chance to be 0-7 by the time they play us. Next, they got Kansas State. Then they go at Oklahoma State. Then they play at home versus Colorado State. That's probably their easiest game. At UTEP, that's going to be tough. Versus Louisiana Tech at home, that's maybe a little bit easier than if it was in Ruston. But I know there's kind of a budding rivalry there. I don't know, like, there was almost a fight last season. And then Southern Miss, at Southern Miss. So I don't think – can you see them being favored in any of those games except maybe Colorado State? Maybe?
No, they wouldn't be favored. Colorado State went to a bowl game last year. Yeah. No, because it's hard to favor them on the road. UTEP, everybody has them being a good team. I'm still a little bit skeptical on that, so maybe.
Maybe UTEP.
It's tough. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, their road games, they're tough. They won't be favored. Are they playing Oklahoma State at home?
They're playing at Oklahoma State.
Okay, because Oklahoma State, they look like crap on Thursday. They struggled with Central Michigan. I was thinking that maybe if they got them at home, maybe not favored, but I could see a possible upset there. So, yeah, they could be defeated coming in our game. But, I mean, still, even if they're defeated, I think they're going to be a lot better than they were last year.
Yeah. Again, that's not to say that, you know, because they haven't won a game, then therefore we will continue that streak. I'm just saying that they're going to come in 0-7, very likely so. But they probably will be a lot better offensively than you think they will be.
Right.
Yeah. I think, didn't we play against Austin Robinson? I was looking at their Twitter thing here on ESPN. It says like one of them, somebody left the program. Quarterback Austin Robinson.
He left the program, but we played that Herpa Derp Tucker Carter.
Yeah.
He tore us up. God, man, that's just, boy, that makes my blood pressure rise right there. Herpa Derp, Tucker Carter, taking it to the North Texas defense.
Yeah, I think, I wrote it all up. I was like, well, this is the worst team that we've played offensively. And then I think they were averaging something like 2.5, 3 yards a carry. And against us, they were averaging like 6. And that was pretty awful. Okay, so who else do we have? Louisiana Tech, one of the preseason favorites. They play with Southern. Who do they play? Southern.
They play Southern today.
Yeah.
So you won't learn much about that. The big thing for Louisiana Tech, they lost Sokol, their quarterback, who was a big key to their offensive success last year. They bring in Jeff Driscoll, Florida transfer. He should be better against Conference USA competition than he was against SEC. He wasn't bad against SEC, but
he can run.
He's athletic enough. When Garrett Gilbert transferred from Texas to SMU, he had success, and I think the same can be said about Driscoll transferring to Louisiana Tech, facing, you know, smaller foes. So,
yeah.
They also have their key running back, Kenneth Dixon, one of the guys that I think is undervalued, you know, on the national stage, because I think he's a hell of a running back.
I agree.
They bring him back. He's a tough load to bring down. One of their biggest losses, though, was losing Manny Diaz, the defensive coordinator. I think he went back to Mississippi State. I'm trying to think. But anyways, they lost him. And again, yeah. So Sokol was the key on offense. Diaz was the key to their defense. Like his blitz pressure schemes, I mean, they made their defense look good, and it made, you know, they forced a ton of turnovers. But they still have the All Conference USA high draft. Well, maybe not high draft choice. Maybe he's like second, third round. That's still high draft for Conference USA. Xavier Woods, the defensive back, returns for them on the defensive side of the thing. So they should be okay on defense, but again, it won't be Manny Diaz and him cooking up all those aggressive blitz schemes that, you know, he's so good at doing.
Yeah, so before they play us, we don't play them till November, so we will have a complete understanding of Louisiana Tech, and they could look completely different as far as injuries are concerned, but they'll get a test at Western Kentucky, and that's Thursday night. And then they follow that up with Kansas State. That's funny. You got, like, UTSA, Louisiana Tech both playing Kansas State. which is interesting just because, you know, like, how often do they swing through Conference USA and play a couple of teams from our conference? FIU, Louisiana, Lafayette, at UTSA, at Mississippi State. So they get a rematch, reunion with Manny Diaz. Middle Tennessee State at Rice, and then they play us. And then they finish it up with UTEP and USM. So we'll know about Louisiana Tech by the time we play them. Or maybe we won't. I don't know. They're predicted to be to top Conference USA. What did you have them in your rankings?
Power rankings? I had them. Oh, man, I don't remember where I had them. Now you threw me off.
Put you on
They're probably, I want to say, third?
Yeah. All right, so next up on the list, we have Middle Tennessee. Good old Middle.
Yeah, and you know the thing about Middle, they had Austin Grammer, right? And they had a battle between him and the coach's son, Stockhill. And he named his son the starting quarterback, Stockhill, right? So Austin Grammer, everybody remembers, that's the kid that, you know, got blown up by North Texas when we played him back in 2013, that vicious hit that everybody sees on the highlights. So Austin Grammer last year, he threw for 2,500 yards. He had a TDs, 17, 12 INTs, QB rating of 138. Would you take Austin Grammer as the quarterback of North Texas right now?
Yes.
Yeah. And so they're putting in his son, who's a redshirt freshman, hadn't played at all. And they gave him the starting job over Grammer. So, I thought that was...
Yeah, I don't know too much about Middle Tennessee. I don't follow them very closely. So was there any reason why? Is he just, like, that much better at, like, knowing the offense because he gets to be there with his dad's playbook at night or something? I don't understand. Like, what?
I guess he beat him out in camp, or they think that he did. He said that both quarterbacks will play, but his son will start. And still, I think back to guys like, you know, Dan Hawkins starting his son, Cody Hawkins. Mm-hmm. It just never really works out well unless it's in high school, you know?
Yeah. Todd Dodge starting Riley Dodge, right?
Yeah. I had Louisiana Tech ranked fourth in my power rankings behind Marshall, Middle, and Western Kentucky. And that was preseason power rankings. Every Tuesday, I'll roll out a new power rankings. I know UTSA was pissed that I had them. Their rating was so low, and a bunch of stuff went into the equation. They won't be as low, and they'll move up this week, so they can't, you know, jump on me.
I was like, oh, typical Mean Green. They just hate our program so much. I was like, what? I mean, it was not like you're just bashing to bash them. You make sense. So looking at Middle Tennessee's schedule, they play, was it Jackson State today? You don't really know too much. You won't learn very much there. Then at Alabama, again, you probably won't learn very much there. Then they got Charlotte. They already got their first FBS win, so that'll be interesting. At Illinois, Vanderbilt. There's somebody taking a double dip in conference here, so... Vandy, Western Kentucky, FIU, Louisiana Tech, home against Marshall, at FIU, home against us, and away at UTSA. So, again, this is end of November. It'll either be a surprising season for us where we've, managed to defy all expectations and challenge for the conference supremacy, or we'll look for that to be maybe a win on the road. Middle Tennessee State should be good. We'll see about this coach son starting. You know, we'll see about that.
Right.
I think you got a call. You got a phone call.
Yeah, I know. My parents. Somebody has a phone call. It's not me. Answer the damn phone.
And then finally, UTEP, a team that I think is going to be really good. They like to run the ball. I think their coach, what's his name again? It escapes me right now. He really has, Sean Kugler. Yeah. He really has put his imprint on the program a lot sooner than I thought he would. That first season, they were kind of changing into the team that he wanted. And, they were kind of awful. And we got them, it was 2013. We got them when they were pretty awful.
Right.
Last season, they whooped us.
Yeah. The success with them is their offensive line. Their coach, offensive line coach, came from the Steelers, does things the right way. They're going to run the ball. His last name is Jones. Their running back returns, very good running back. They still have some quarterback issues to figure out. They named the kid who started against us, Leftwich. They named him the starting quarterback over Garrett Simpson. Some people remember Garrett Simpson. He was a 6'4 quarterback from the Colony. I think he's like 6'7 now. I think he was 6'7 at the Colony too. Mm-hmm. But anyways, I don't think North Texas offered him, if I'm correct. But I thought Simpson would end up being the starting quarterback, but he got hurt in their camp. And I'm going to say that by the time they reach us at the end of the year, Simpson will be the guy who's the starting quarterback. So it'll be interesting to see how that battle plays out.
Yeah, what did they go? They went 7-6? Is that really what they went? Jeez.
Yeah, they ended up going to a bowl game last year.
Yeah, that's crazy. I forgot all about it. They beat New Mexico. They beat New Mexico State. They barely lost at Texas Tech. They got destroyed by Louisiana Tech. Kansas State put a lot of points on them. They blanked UTSA. They won at Old Dominion. They beat Southern Miss. Lost to Western Kentucky by a score. And, you know, gave Middle Tennessee. They beat Middle Tennessee. They lost in their bowl game, 21-6 to Utah State. And Utah State is a good squad, so that's not really, like a knock.
Yeah, a lot of people think UTEP, or a lot of the predictions, are calling for UTEP to be one of the teams that challenges Louisiana Tech in the West. And the West is kind of, you know, it's one of those things where a team that's picked first ends up finishing last, and the team picked to finish last, mm-hmm. or whatever, they end up finishing first. So it'll be interesting to see where UTEP falls, if they can continue, you know, the progression as a program getting better. So that's all I got on them.
Yeah. They opened today at Arkansas. So we'll see. Yeah. We'll see Conference USA team play at number 18, a ranked squad. Get to see if they can do us proud. Then they play at Texas Tech. Texas Tech is trying to see what they are over there. So I mean, I could see UTEP giving them a game. Then at New Mexico State, like three road games to start the season. That's got to suck. And then they finally play at home against Incarnate Word, which is weird, on September 26th. And then they got UTSA. They begin conference play in earnest, and they finish the season with us. So there you go. There's UTEP, ladies and gentlemen. Of the teams that we previewed, which team is going to give us the best game? Like, which game is going to be the game of the season?
The game of the season will be... it'll be... And so much is dependent on the SMU game and if we can win or lose that, because then I would think, you know, the best battle between both teams, I think, will be UTSA.
You think so? That's interesting. Okay. All right. Next, your season predictions.
It is season prediction time, and we're going to start this out with NCAA predictions. Then we're going to finish up with our UNT predictions. And after we're done with that, we're going to finish with some predictions, or not really, selections on today's game. So, first prediction up, who you got winning the Heisman?
I never liked it. Every time I pick a Heisman winner, I'm like way off by the season end. I'm just going to go with TCU's kid, Boykin, just because every time I pick something, I'm way off. So, I can't even, I'm just like, I had no idea. I'm going to go with Boykin just because why not?
I'm going to go with Nick Chubb from Georgia. Georgia's always got those good running backs. He filled in for Gurley last year. I think they have a good transfer quarterback. Can't remember. His name escapes me, but I know I heard a lot of people talking him up. Mm-hmm. Georgia's got a lot of good people around Chubb. They're going to hit. Georgia always likes to run the ball, and I like saying Chubb. So I'm going with Chubb from Georgia.
Yeah.
Who you got winning the Big Ten?
Oh, that's going to be Ohio State. They look too good. They probably will have a game where they get almost upset, but Ohio State just looks too damn good. They're bringing, like, everybody back. I know we kind of talk about that a little bit, but they just look too good. I think all the previews, like to tie out that last season they already had a schedule. They were built to win this season. And, you know, the fact that they won last season just tells you how good they're going to be. You know?
I'm going to stick with Green here. My man, Connor Cook, drafted by the Browns with the first overall pick next year. And Michigan State will beat Ohio State, seek some revenge like their coach, D'Antonio. Mm-hmm. And I think Michigan State will win the Big Ten.
What? Write it down.
Yeah. What about the Pac-12?
Pac-12.
I know you're in Oregon.
I mean, it kind of gets boring picking Oregon, but I'm gonna pick Oregon. I like what they have every season. I know they lost their Marcus Mariota, but they got that Eastern Washington kid,
Vernon Adams.
Yeah, he's gonna start. I think they'll keep rolling.
Yeah, I like me some Vernon Adams too. It's interesting, you know, they can bring in a JUCO FBS level transfer. He's there for 15 days, and he's named the starting quarterback because he has talent to play the position. So, yeah, I'm like you. Oregon wins that. I think Stanford could be a dark horse. A lot of people are picking Stanford with their quarterback, Kevin Hogan. You know, so he played well at the end of last year. But, yeah, I don't know. I just can't get past their offense. A little too stagnant for me sometimes. What about the SEC?
This is the one everybody cares about. Here's just some hot pre. I don't think Tennessee is going to be as good as everybody thinks that they're going to be. You've seen too much hype from them. And my rule of thumb is always, like, don't really buy the hype. And I know I'm contradicting my Ohio State Buckeyes preview, but they actually want something, right? So I'm going to go ahead and say that Auburn is going to win the SEC.
War Eagle going with Auburn.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought you were going to say, like, Alabama, and I was ready to say, Alabama, roll damn tide.
Is that you? You're picking Alabama?
No, I'm not picking Alabama. I hate, man, I worked in Mississippi for like a year and a half, and I swear I crossed the border of Mississippi into Alabama one time to go to a meeting, and I walked into a convenience store to get something to drink, and I paid for it, and the cash register guy, he looked at me, and he said, roll damn tide. And I was like, who the hell are you talking to? I mean, it is a religion down there. I mean, it's a religion everywhere else, you know, football, but still, it is different. It is a different animal.
That's how you say good morning. It's like aloha. You just say roll damn tide.
Exactly.
Roll damn tide.
I know.
Thanks for joining the meeting. I mean, I'd like to pick one of these Mississippi squads just because I got a couple friends that went to Mississippi, were born in Mississippi and things. So it's fun seeing their teams do things. But no, it's gonna be Auburn.
I'm picking LSU. I like me some Leonard Fournette. I think Brandon Harris at quarterback. He'll play better. The skill positions for for Les Miles this year is the best group of skill guys he's had, and that's even with Odell Beckham. I think he's got a good group there. I know they lost John Chavis, and he may suffer some, but they still have athletes, and they're still gonna play good defense because it's LSU. And I'm rolling with the Tigers this year. What about the Big 12?
I'm going to go ahead and say Baylor. They're on a mission, and I think Baylor's going to win it actually this time, and not just co-win it, you know?
Yeah, I think the Big 12, you know, we saw TCU struggle, saw Baylor struggle. I'm not sold on Russell as a quarterback for Baylor. Oklahoma could be a sneaky pick here. Bob Stoops always seems to do big things when his teams aren't predicted well. You know, Charlie Strong is Swoops. Mm-hmm. Is he the answer there at Texas? Are they going to play well? I don't know. I'm going to go with TCU. I know TCU. They struggled last night. I like Gary Patterson as a coach. He gets it. His team will get better as the season goes on. Boykin will get better as the season goes on. And their offense is still going to be good, and their defense is always going to be good. So I still like TCU to win the Big 12 because they get Baylor at TCU this year.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, you're really just picking between the two, you know. And I think maybe TCU does – maybe they win that game, but I think they slip up elsewhere. It's just kind of my unofficial prediction. You know, like my uninformed prediction.
Give me your ACC pick.
I don't think Florida State's going to do anything. It's weird when you look at the ACC because they got, you know, Louisville and all these other teams, Syracuse. I'm like, this is the ACC? I'm still – I am officially old. And now I look at the team, I remember back when that was the Big East. I'm going to go ahead and say, because what they got? They got that division thing, right? So it's basically whatever the Coastal Division produces, and they go against, you know, Florida State. At least that's the thinking. I'm going to think Clemson's going to – I'm going to say Clemson's going to jump up.
Old Dabu finally gets it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a rambling wreck from Georgia Tech and a hell of an engineer. I'm going with the Yellow Jackets from Georgia Tech. I like that triple option, Paul Johnson.
I love watching the triple option. Yeah.
He got that quarterback play this year. You know, that guy played last year. God, I can't remember his name now, and I should. But still, I like Georgia Tech. I don't know. I like Paul Johnson. The dude has all – his play sheet is in his head. He makes the adjustments in his head. I just – it's an art form to watch him coach his team. It's an art form to watch his team on the field execute the way that they do against big schools.
Yeah. I mean, I like it. I like their whole philosophy. It's like this. It's playing – it's like playing a pick and roll. I think I told that to somebody before. They're like, oh, this, you know, it's a – how do you call it? It's just playing a pick and roll. You get the open man. You know, like, that's why the pick and roll is one of the oldest plays in basketball, and it's the most effective still, you know? Make them wrong every time if you run it the right way.
So what? Give me your final four teams in the playoffs, and then give me your championship game and who wins.
Okay. So what did I just say? So
you had Ohio State. You had Oregon, Auburn, Baylor, and Clemson.
Okay, it's going to be Ohio State, Oregon, Auburn, Baylor. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know exactly what order they're going to finish in, but I think the national champ. I think it's going to be an upset. What's that going to be? I'm going to go ahead and say Oregon's going to win. There you go.
The whack attack.
Yeah, there you go. Just to be you know, controversial.
Well, we do.
I don't want Ohio State to win anything. But go ahead.
We do like green. I got TCU, Michigan State, LSU, and Oregon, and I'm picking Michigan State and my man, Connor Cook, over TCU.
I like Sparty. I think it was one of the first college football games I saw was Michigan State and Nebraska at the Alamo Bowl in San Antonio. And, you know, I got family from Michigan, but they grew up Michigan fans and not Michigan State fans, but I always like Michigan State, you know. Yeah, underdog. I like Sparty.
All right. Now that, you know, what everybody's been waiting for, North Texas season predictions. Let's start it off. Give me Andrew McNulty's stat line for the season because I know everybody wants to know how many yards and touchdowns that cat's going to throw for.
All right. So I've been between like 4,500 yards and 6,000. I think Andrew McNulty is going to come out. He's going to get, he's not going to throw that much. Can I just say he's going to get 2,500 yards, 11 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. I can't pick the number of passes and interception, but what do you got for me?
I got 110 completions, 200 incompletions, 1,200 yards, 5 touchdowns, 7 INTs, QB rating of 107. I don't think he finishes out the whole year. I think DeMarcus Smith, that's the guy that they wanted to be the answer before the season started. He wasn't there in time for spring ball. They rolled with the guy that they felt gave him the best chance to win early until DeMarcus Smith, you know, is able to take over the program going into next year. And I think it's really Dan McCartney thinks that, you know, this year he has next year. He's not going to be fired this year. So I don't think Andrew McNulty lasts the whole season before DeMarcus Smith takes over.
I think that's about right. I think we're going to stick with him for longer than we probably should. But I'd like to be very, very wrong. And, you know, he comes out. I'd like the quarterback position to be very productive, whoever's in that role. If it's Andrew McNulty, if it's DeMarcus Smith, if it's Greg Godecker, they pull you out the stands and say and get you out there. And, you know, I'd like to see you throw touchdown passes all day and all night.
You see that mountain over there, son? I sling it over that mountain. Yeah, I'm with you. I want Andrew McNulty to prove my ass wrong. Go out there and ball out against SMU, son. Yeah. And for the rest of the season.
I get, what was my prediction? What did you write down there? That he's going to throw for 700 yards.
And yeah, 10 you had touchdowns. Him breaking the school record for passing yards.
I said, hey guys, don't you remember we had a quarterback controversy going into the SMU game once upon a time way back when? And, you know, maybe we could get that same thing. Daniel Meagher threw for 600-something yards, you know, a handful of touchdowns, all to the same guy, to one guy, basically. Yeah. It was a great offensive performance. I'd like to see that duplicated. It was a great day. It was a great day to see some offense.
All right, next up, offensive breakout star of the year. Who breaks out on offense?
Offensive breakout player. I got to say that's – I mean, can it be Carlos Harris? Can he be a breakout player? Is he
– I don't know. He did everything last year, so.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's kind of the question I didn't understand. Is it like he's a standout? Is it standout or breakout? Standout
breakout. Somebody that – he didn't have a great year last year, wasn't a known commodity last year, and bam, burst onto the scene this year, you know?
Okay. All right. Well, can I say Turner Smiley? Does that qualify?
That qualifies. Right. That's a good answer.
Yeah. It's like we knew about him. People saw him, but I mean, I guess he's going to have a big year.
He didn't really have the production yet on the field that we want to see. You know, I'm with you. I'm going to choose another wide receiver, Darvin Kidzie. Jamal Marshall, you know, pumped him up in that Periscope video. Man, I bought into it. When Jamal Marshall, when he talks, I listen. Darvin Kidzie's been burning people in camp. Dude, you know, we know that he has athleticism. We know he can be a playmaker with the ball in his hands. Can he catch the ball? If he can catch the ball, he can make plays. And I think he's going to catch the ball this year. They're going to put some extra stickum on his gloves. And dude is going to ball out, make plays for us. Darvin
Kidzie. What did I say? If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying, right? So, yeah, get a little extra stickum on there.
All right, what about defensive breakout?
Well, before we continue on, Todd Samuels, he said amen to you talking about quarterback things. And also, he hopes McNulty is a breakout player. Andrew McNulty could come out and he throws for, you know, like I said, 3,000-4,000 yards. That would definitely be a breakout player. Guy definitely under the radar.
Let me just say this. If Andrew McNulty is the breakout star on this offense, we're going to a bowl game. We are winning Conference USA West.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
We're going to win Conference USA. There's enough talent around Andrew McNulty that if he breaks out, this team will be good. It would be fun to watch.
All right, so who do you have as a defensive breakout player?
Jarian Roberts. Loved him last year. Loved the explosiveness off the ball as a pass rusher. I had him getting double-digit sacks last year. It didn't quite come true. I'm sticking with him this year. I think he's a good pass rusher. I think he's bulked up. I think he'll be able to defend against the run. He'll be on the field more. So I'm expecting, you know, close to 7 sacks, 5 sacks out of him. But I think he's going to be a disruptor.
I had a tough time with this one. I mean, I don't know. I have a hard time. I was like, does Jamal Marshall count? He's the guy we're all kind of looking for, but I don't really know. I like that Jarian Roberts pick. I don't know. I would be surprised if I wouldn't be surprised if anybody steps up. I think we're gonna have a good defense this season. I'm confident in it. But yeah, I think I'm gonna punt on this one and say I don't know who the defensive breakout star is gonna be, so I'll just say one of the safeties is gonna be its breakout star.
Both those guys, they did an article about James Gray and Keyshawn McClain in the Mean Green Sports. It was a good one. So big thing expected from both the safeties this year. All right, best newcomer guy wasn't on the team or somebody that redshirted last year. Somebody that's going to make a big impact, best newcomer. Who you got?
On offense or defense?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
All right. For me, that's going to be T-Gore. And that might be just wishful thinking, but I've been looking forward to seeing this kid play for a while just because I just wanted to see what he has. And so I'm going to say he's going to be that guy. I'm a positive kind of guy right now. It's a Saturday morning, you know. I'm feeling good. I'm a positive
good about
kind of
yourself.
Guy.
Yeah, my name's Adam.
But more likely, I think it's going to be like Blake Bean.
I'm going to go with another linebacker. I'm going with Courtney Finney. I think he's a tackle machine. I think we need help in the linebacker position. We need guys to step up and play.
He has a lot of talent.
I think he's going to beat out Fred Scott for that starting linebacker position, replacing Akune, where he made a lot of tackles, a lot of plays. And I think Finney, even though he's undersized, I know he can play. I just have that feeling in the back of my head that this guy's a, you know, he can, he's a baller out there. So yeah. I'm going with Finney.
That's not a bad pick. It's probably going to be Blake Bean, though. I mean, he's, you know, he's starting the middle linebacker. It's the newcomer.
Yeah, I mean, we need Bean to be really good anyways, regardless. We need that middle linebacker position because we struggled there last year. And I think a lot's going to be expected of Bean, so he better play well. Otherwise, the defense is going to struggle.
Let's go, Bean. Okay, there we go, Bean. Way to hit him, Bean.
That's a way to bean him. offensive MVP.
Okay, that's going to be whoever the quarterback is. I'm lying. No, it's going to be it's going to be Carlos Harris. Pretty obviously, I think.
Carlos Harris, 140 catches and 350 targets, huh?
Yeah, and
every down.
Yeah, 2,000 yards receiving. Yeah,
I'm going with Jeffrey Wilson. I'm buying the running back stock from him. I think he's one of the best kept secrets in the state of Texas as far as running backs go. I think he could be the guy that changes the program's fortune if we get good quarterback play around him. Dang. I think he's the bell cow running back. He's going to have close to 1,000 yards this year. Love his explosiveness. Love the way he runs, the physical ability. So big things from Jeffrey Wilson is what I'm expecting.
I feel like we're going to split carries a little too much for him to be the MVP, but I can definitely see that happening.
Defensive MVP.
I was thinking about this too. It's going to be a linebacker, and I'm going to say it's going to be Blake Bean, and that's why he's also going to be the newcomer, the best newcomer, the most newest newcomer. He's gonna lead the team in tackles, and you know, there's gonna be stories written about him and how he's leading the team, and how he has this new look. He put the mean back in the mean green defense or something like that. Somebody's gonna write that headline, and it's gonna be the next great UNT linebacker. I'm calling it now.
Calling out your headlines. I'm going with James Gray, the safety.
Safety. MVP? Safety. How's the MVP? Just because he gets a lot of turnovers?
He's going to just be a playmaker back there. Okay. I keep preaching the athleticism on all these guys.
Yeah.
And Vito did the story on the backflip, you know, where DeMarcus Smith put the ball perfectly, a guy who can't throw into a tight window. I like James Gray. I think him back there patrolling center field, safety, making plays, coming up, hitting people, fumbles, interceptions, doing it all. I think he's going to be a big player in this defense. So I like newcomer James Gray.
I feel like Jamal Marshall has a chance. If he's everything that we want him to be, I think he's going to – I feel like he's going to struggle probably in some complicated routes, defending some things like that. But I think where he will shine is coming up and making plays. I think short routes, like running backs out of the backfield, they're not going to expect Jamal Marshall to hit him as hard as he's going to hit him. And I think that's where we get some fumbles. I'm going to go ahead and call two forced fumble recoveries, forced fumbles from Jamal Marshall in the first 6 weeks. I'm going to go ahead and call it.
He's trying to get that in the first game against SMU. You didn't hear that?
I know that. I know. I'm just saying, but what's actually going to happen is that, which is a lot. Two forced fumbles is a lot.
Speaking of Marshall, like you said, he's going to be a strength in the run game. He's going to be a strength in the deep ball game because I don't think a lot of people can, you know, just simply run past him. I think his ability to jam a wide receiver off the line, because he's obviously going to be stronger than a lot of the wide receivers, and his straight line speed, those are the two biggest assets that he has. But like you said, he's going to struggle with some of, you know, the breaks, the in and out routes, stuff like that early on. So it'll be interesting to see if we run more zone when he's in there, or if we run, you know, more man-to-man coverage when he's on the field.
Yeah. Again, I think he'll struggle in some of the more complicated routes. Like, nobody's going to say, all right, let's run straight at Jamal Marshall. We'll run by him. But they're going to give him some double moves or something like that. And I want to see how he performs in those things.
All right. Worst loss of the season.
Oh, goodness. Goodness.
I struggle on this one.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't. Our worst loss. All right. Define that for me a little bit. What does that mean, worst loss?
I mean, it could be, you know, the most disappointing loss, or a team that we should have beat, that we didn't.
Okay, all right.
You know, something like that.
Yeah, if you're just talking, like, point total, because it might be, like, Tennessee or maybe even Iowa putting them, maybe probably Marshall.
How about the loss that gives you the worst feeling inside as a human being?
All right. That loss, I see. I don't know if any of the – you know what? It'll probably be – God damn it. It's going to probably be UTSA. That would be
– Oh, man.
That's – no. I feel like that's going to be the loss that will – because that's the loss that gave me the gut punch. And
yeah, you just kicked everybody in the nuts that's listening.
Yeah, I know. Well, I just feel – I could see it happening. That's what's scary is I could see it happening. As I, 2 years ago, I was hyped for that final game against UTSA. I totally expected to win that game, and we didn't. We lost. And we lost in a very North Texas way. We shot ourselves in the foot. And it wasn't until the end of the game that we finally started getting things going, and then, you know, whatever. I felt like that was a gut punch. Woke up the next day, my stomach hurt because I felt like I got punched in the gut. Last season, I knew that we were – terrible, but I was like, at least we get to come down here and exact some revenge in my hometown. We lost again in a very North Texas way. You know, we stopped them. There's the ball bouncing. We try to pick it up. And then, you know, what the hell? We lose that game too. So I feel like that's going to be it, the UTSA game. And, you know, because we're already down two. We're already down two to them. And I'd like to see a win. And I feel like that's going to be our worst loss. And we can lose by 100 to any of these other teams. I don't think it's going to feel as bad, you know?
Right. I think the Middle Tennessee State. We just always – every time we go there, you know, you highlighted this on another podcast. Every time we go there, bad things happen.
Yes.
And maybe we're, you know, in the running for a bowl game or, you know, maybe we're playing well or – I just don't get a good feeling going to play Middle Tennessee State. So that's going to be my pick. Now that's – doom and gloom has passed. Let's go with the best win. Who's going to give you that rosy feeling when you wake up on Sunday morning saying, yes, we beat them?
This coming Saturday, SMU, that one. That's going to be the one where I feel nice and shiny. And we'll walk around. I'll be walking around Dallas, you know, feeling real good about myself. That we put the ponies back in the back. I can't make a horse pun right now. We kicked their ass. We're going to go there and kick their ass, you know? And it's going to be fun.
I'm going to go with Rice, the first home game. I think that'll be the high point. We always seem to have a good game against Rice at home. I think it'll be fun. Lots of people there in the stands at 1:30. Hopefully it'll be a little bit cooler, you know, mid-80s. You know, another cold front comes through. So I'm going to go with Rice as my best win. So here's the big one now.
Okay.
The season win-loss prediction. I know we played the schedule game a while back, but some things have changed, and this is it. This is your final answer. What do you have?
Let me look at this right here. So that's a win. That's a win. I'm going to go ahead and say that's a win. Loss. I'm just going to go through it. I'll play a scheduled game right now. We're going to win against SMU. We're going to beat Rice. We're going to lose to Iowa. We're going to lose to Southern Miss. We're going to beat Portland State. We're going to barely lose to Kentucky, Western Kentucky. We're going to lose at Marshall. And, I mean, this is the one I said that we're going to probably lose to. Is going to gut punch. But that's just me being a scary North Texas person. I'm going to go ahead and say we beat Texas, San Antonio, UTSA. We're going to lose to Louisiana Tech. We're going to lose to Tennessee. We're going to lose to Middle Tennessee. And then we're going to lose to UTEP. So we're going to get four wins. Is that 4-8, right?
Yeah, 4-8. So that's what you're going with, huh?
Yeah, that's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, here's the thing. I'm with you. 4-8. And the reason is because until Andrew McNulty proves me wrong, or until a quarterback that can be productive walks out onto the field for North Texas, they will not be successful. It just won't happen. We don't have a quarterback. Maybe DeMarcus Smith is talented. Maybe he's not talented. But at the end of the day, we don't have a quarterback that can play at an FBS level. We just don't have it. We don't have that guy on this roster, or we don't know about it. We haven't seen it on the field. But until North Texas finds a quarterback this year, they're going to struggle. If they had a quarterback, I'd be saying we're going to a bowl game, 7 wins. I could easily see 7 wins on the schedule. But again, no quarterback, 4 wins. I know it's disappointing. It's hard to say. I wanted to come into this Saturday feeling good about where we were going into the season. But again, you heard me earlier, I'm pissed off about the quarterback position. So 4 wins is what I've got. And I want them to prove me wrong. I want them to say those assholes on Mean Green Nation said we're only going to win 4 games and it's us versus the world. I want that mentality for them.
Well, they already do it. They already do that. I mean, Dan McCartney's like, well, you know, sportsblog.com or whatever. And a couple of people have called us assholes on here. So a couple of former players, I think. So that there, I agree. I totally agree with you there. And like Todd Samuel says here, I'm going to go into each of these games feeling like we can win. And I think we'll probably even beat Tennessee on that day when I'm there at Neyland Stadium. I'm going to be laying out some people in the row. Like, here's how North Texas can win, guys. Here's how we're going to win this game.
Exactly.
Yeah, I do agree. If we had the offense that I'd like us to have, I agree. We could probably get 7 wins out of this. I think. You know, we could definitely beat Southern Miss or UTEP or Middle Tennessee if we had some kind of offense with us. And, you know, definitely, you know, UTSA, all these teams wouldn't be that much of a problem if we had the offense we think we could have.
Yeah.
And, you know, so there you go. There you go.
So
4-8, 4-8.
4-8, 4-8, I'm with you. I'm going to go into every game thinking that we can win because I'm going to be there. I'm going to be trying to do my game day superstitions, whatever it's going to be this year. I'm going to have my game day song rocking, you know, after college game day's on, after we finish, getting hyped up because that's what we are. We're fans, and we want them to win. We want them to do good. But we also – I don't want to just come in here and blow roses and sunshine up your ass. I want to tell you truthfully how I feel, and I think I've done that today.
I like that. I am gonna clip that, put that on YouTube. Your rant. That's a good rant.
Thank you very much.
Saturday selection time.
Let's start off. Stanford at Northwestern. Stanford's favored by 11.5. Who you got?
Stanford.
Stanford and
a cover.
Stanford and a cover. Let's get into some Conference USA picks. Old Dominion's at Eastern Washington.
Eastern Michigan.
Yeah. Sorry, what the guy. And ODU is favored in that game, 4.5.
Right now they're 4.5. When it's 7? Yeah, see, look at you, what you got here.
Yeah, I think so.
I say Old Dominion's going to win, but they're not going to win by 7. Less than 7.
I'm going to go with Eastern Michigan. I don't think.
What?
Yeah, Tony Romo's old team, what? Old Dominion. The last, I think, what is it? Every time they've been favored, the last 4 times they've lost. They were like 0-4 when they were favored last year. I know it's last year, but, you know, I'm a gambling man, so I'm going to take Eastern Michigan in the upset. FAU at Tulsa. Tulsa's favored by 7.
What are you reading then? I see they're favored by 5. Right now.
Okay, well, then they changed the line.
Okay. All right, so Tulsa's that's an interesting one. I think FAU is going to win. I'm going to call that right now. Continue
FAU.
Continue the Conference USA good streak going on right now.
A lot of people had FAU being a good team this year. I'm going to take Tulsa. They got the new head coach. He came from Baylor, right? I think Baylor's offensive coordinator went to coach at Tulsa. So
yeah.
Tulsa – Yeah, I'm going to say Tulsa wins that game.
Okay.
Mississippi State at Southern Miss. If I'm correct, 21 points favorite Mississippi State.
Let me look that up. Is that what it is? Is that today?
That is today.
Mississippi State. All right, Mississippi State and Southern Miss. Mississippi State's going to win, and they're going to cover. They're going to win by 35.
I think Mississippi State's going to win. I don't think they're going to cover. I think they win by like 17.
Really?
Yeah, I think Mississippi or Southern Miss. I said they're going to be an improved team, so I'm going to go, you know, that they play well. Keep it close. They're playing at home, too.
Yeah, that's true. Here's the thing. Is it like they're going to do kind of like Baylor, you know? They're going to come out. It's going to be kind of close for a little bit, and they're going to pull away late. That's what happens. It's what happens in these kinds of things, man. Marshall and Purdue. We got Marshall. I have them being favored by 7.5.
That's what I have to. Right, cool. Marshall. I like Marshall. Again, Purdue, they're a crap team right now, and I think Marshall's pretty good, and they're going to continue rolling for Conference USA.
All right. Who else do you have listed here? Virginia and UCLA.
Yeah, Virginia, UCLA. Kind of a sneaky game. UCLA starting a true freshman quarterback, although I think he was like the number one drop back passing quarterback in the recruits last year. So
I'm thinking UCLA. And yeah, were they favored by 17.5? They won by like 21.
Yeah, you know, Virginia, their coach, he's coaching for his life over there. Well, not his life, but his, you know, keep his job. His
football life.
I think they keep it close, but UCLA at home, too much for them. Too much firepower. Like Jim Moore as a head coach, I'm going to take UCLA. UTEP?
Are you going to take them by that 17.5?
Yeah, I'll take them by 20. I think they win by 3 touchdowns.
Okay.
What about UTEP at Arkansas?
I think that I saw that as like 18. Let me look at that up.
No, it's it's 33.
That's a 30. Yeah, you have it 33. It is not 33. I thought, what am I looking at before? Okay, yeah, Arkansas is gonna win. They're not gonna win by 33 though. It's gonna be a closer game than that. No upsets in this on ESPNU at 2:30, guys.
This is a game that should be over within like an hour and a half because both teams are going to just ground to pound. Arkansas lost one of their best running backs for the year. I think it would be interesting if UTEP can keep it close. I think they do stay under the 33 points. I think Arkansas wins, but I'm with you. It'd be interesting to see what the over-under is on that game.
It's 49.5. That's what it is.
Yeah, I'd take under that.
Yeah, as I'm saying, I think the game's going to end before they can really run up the score. You know what I mean? They both like to run all the damn time, so yeah.
I agree. Let's get into some of the big games, big matchups. Louisville playing Auburn, Georgia Dome.
At the Georgia Dome. Well, I got to pick Auburn. I'm picking my 14 just because I already picked them to win the conference, so, you know.
Yeah, I don't want to go with too many upsets here. Louisville is going to play them tough. Auburn, I have 10.5. It may have changed. That was Monday's line. I'm going to stick with Auburn. Auburn wins this game. I like what they do. Their offense. They got the new defensive coordinator.
Will Muschamp. Yeah, it's still 10.5.
Yeah, Muschamp in there. He'll be able to do some good things for Auburn. So yeah, Auburn wins that game. Arizona State, A&M.
A&M's favored by 3. Arizona State's going to win. They're going to win by 10.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm gonna take Arizona State, too. I just don't like A&M. But, yeah, I like Arizona State. I like Todd Graham. And I think they're going to win, too. I'm with you. Texas going to Notre Dame. Historic matchup there.
Yeah, everybody's like, oh, it's good. They're going to shock the world and this and that. I think Texas is going to get handled over there. Probably around about 14. I think Notre Dame's favored by 10. So
this, ladies and gentlemen, is my upset pick of the week. Texas goes into Notre Dame and beats Notre Dame. I'm just not sold on Malik Zaire as a quarterback. I think Notre Dame's overrated. I think they're always overrated. Everybody's calling this Brian Kelly's best team. He lost some people.
Well, this is a battle of two teams that are pretty much always overrated, though, you know? So
it is, but you know, I like Charlie Strong. I like the persona, you know, of his team. He's going to play a lot of young kids, too. They had like 24 freshmen or redshirt freshmen on their two deep. And it could be one of those things where, you know, we talked about it last week, you know, getting the freshman gets the playing time if the battle's even. So we may not know a lot about Texas. And Lou Holtz said yesterday that he saw Swoops and he said he was improved. But again, the biggest thing for Texas in this game is offensive line. I think they're starting like 3 freshmen, true freshmen. That's going to be tough against a good Notre Dame defensive line. But I like Texas in this game to shock the world, pull the upset.
Shocking the world. Yeah, right.
Good defense matchup. Wisconsin against Alabama.
Alabama's going to win that one. And I think that they'll stay within that 13. They're favored by 13, so they'll win by like 5. Something ridiculous like that.
Paul Chryst takes over at Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Alabama's going to roll out all five quarterbacks on the first series because Nick Saban just loves to troll everybody. Mm-hmm. And Alabama's got some issues, though, at their quarterback. I know they always roll in a game manager from year to year, but they always have a really good offensive line, really good running back. I think they're lacking in some of the skill positions this year. That's going to make it difficult for them. I think Alabama wins the game, but I think they win it by a field goal. I think it's a close game.
That's a decent pick. Okay.
Ohio State, Virginia Tech.
Okay. See, well, this is going to be also my upset pick of the week because I'm picking Virginia Tech. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Virginia Tech is a 14-point dog. They're going to win. Apparently, they're going to have Metallica actually play Enter Sandman live as they do the thing. That's what I hear. So that should be fun. I think they're going to win.
I think at home they're like 1-28 or something against ranked teams or top five teams, or they haven't beaten a top five team and they're like 1-28 against top 10 teams, and their only win was like Ohio State last year.
Yeah, I know. There's no reasonable pick. It just feels like right, and everybody else is saying the same thing. But yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say.
Well, I mean, it makes sense because look, Bud Foster's had all summer to prepare a defense that he's got a lot of people coming back. We know that they coach good defense at Virginia Tech. Again, all summer to prepare for the Ohio State offense. Ohio State's got a couple people suspended. They've got really all the pressure on the world on them because they're the first unanimous AP, number one team in the country. They got the quarterback issues. They had lost one of their best wide receivers. There's a lot of things that Ohio State has to face off the field. So I could see Virginia Tech. I'm going to pick Ohio State to win, but it's going to be closer than 14. It's going to be a tight game. Ohio State will be challenged in this game. It'll be a really fun game to watch on Monday night. I thought one of the cool things was Virginia Tech was wearing the decal to honor the slain
journalist.
The journalist, and Ohio State requested to do the same to get those decals put on their helmet. I thought that was a pretty cool move by Urban Meyer.
So, what is your upset pick of the week?
I had Texas over Notre Dame. That's going to be my upset
pick of the week. All right, yeah. Okay.
And you're going
up. Well, just this is FSU's favored by 30 over your Texas State Bobcats. You have family members that have affiliation there. So, what's your thoughts on that game?
I think Texas State will keep it close for a while.
Because
they're breaking in a new quarterback too. I know Golston played a lot last year, but he turns the ball over.
Yeah,
Francione is a good coach. He's won at almost everywhere he's been except for really A&M. And they've got Tyler Jones. He was ranked in that quarterback ranking we talked about. I think he was ranked like 50th or something. He was high up. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the state of Texas when you look at it. He had like 3,900 yards of offense last year. Played really well. So they may struggle to move against Florida State's defense, but I think they're going to play well on the road there. I really do. And I think Texas State could be a team. They're trending up. They're rising up. And I wish that North Texas would play them. I think that'd be a good matchup.
That's our most played game, right? Texas State game. So FSU's favored by 30. Are they gonna they're gonna cover that 30? You guys gonna
keep it close to 30? Texas State will lose by 24.
All right. Well, there you go. Get your wallets ready. So that's it. Any ending comments on this? A very long edition, and rightfully so, edition of the Mean Green Nation podcast.
Yeah, I guess my ending comments before I let you finish up. Sorry to cut you off.
No. I was asking you. Yeah.
Enjoy Saturday. Enjoy the college football. Enjoy it with your families. Appreciate what you have. We appreciate all you guys listening to us. Hopefully we're able to do this, a lot during the Saturdays to give you guys North Texas talk on a Saturday morning while you're out there tailgating. Like Adam said, we're going to be somewhere in Dallas next week. For the Rice game, we're going to be tailgating out and doing our podcast from, you know, around Apogee Stadium. So, you know, we'll try and shoot a message out, let everybody know where we are so you can stop by if you don't make it out to the SMU game. The breakdowns we'll be doing, they'll be a little bit different this year. They won't quite be as long because most of you don't know this already, but my wife is pregnant and we're having our first child, so I got to take care of my wife too. We're having a son, so I'm going to have a scout beside me next year to help me with all this stuff.
He'll be charting plays with you?
He will be charting plays with me as best he can. But yeah, just enjoy the day, enjoy the games, everybody. Hopefully North Texas has a great season. We're looking forward to talking, you know, to you guys and with you guys on Saturday mornings. And I'll leave it with, like Kevin Garnett said, anything is possible.
You keep bringing that up. Such a big fan of Kevin Garnett. Yeah, you got congrats from Todd Samuels. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, I'm echo a lot of what he said. I'm looking forward to the season. And if you have any feedback, don't hesitate to give it to us, podcastingmingrenation.com. All right, ladies and gentlemen, for Greg, I'm Adam, we're done.